are that commonly called the six far-reaching attitudes. And these are the six practices that we engage in because we want to attain enlightenment for the benefit of others. Okay? So first we generate this altruistic intention to attain enlightenment, and then to be able to actualize it, to be able to really purify our mind and develop our good qualities, then according to the sutra path, these are the six things that we must do in order to, you know, purify our mind and develop our qualities. Okay, so in the Sanskrit, the term is the six paramitas. Sometimes it's translated as six perfections. I don't think perfection is such a good translation, because in English, perfection is such a sticky word. I mean, we have such perfection complexes anyway, that I think it's better to just say six far-reaching attitudes. Okay, because these are attitudes that are very far-reaching, and that they encompass all the sentient beings into the scope of who we're doing them for. And they're far-reaching because we have a far-reaching motivation to attain enlightenment for the benefit of all those beings. All those beings. No matter how they act. Whether they bite your toes or not. Okay, so all these six far-reaching attitudes are necessary to attain enlightenment. If we're missing one of them, then, you know, we're missing a big chunk. And there's various ways in which we can discuss these six. Before I start discussing them individually, I'm going to talk a little bit about them generally and how they fit together. So one way, we've talked before about how the path has the method aspect of the path and the wisdom aspect of the path. Okay, so the method aspect of the path are all the actions done out of the altruistic intention, where that's really cognizant and present in the mind. Okay, so, and then the wisdom aspect of the path is the wisdom particularly that realizes emptiness. So in the six far-reaching attitudes, the first five, generosity, ethics, patience, enthusiastic perseverance, and concentration, are all considered part of the method aspect of the path. And then the wisdom aspect of the path is the last one, the sixth one. So that's one way to look at them. There's other ways to look at them, too. One way is to say that we practice the first three for others' purpose. In other words, we practice generosity, ethics, and patience for the purpose of others, to accomplish their purpose, and then enthusiastic perseverance, concentration, and wisdom to accomplish our own purpose. Okay, accomplishing others' purpose refers to being able to directly benefit others, and in order to do that, having what's called the rupakaya, or the form body of the Buddha. And then to accomplish self-purpose is to attain enlightenment in terms of our own mind and attain the dharmakaya, or the, how do you translate dharmakaya? It's analogous to the mind of the Buddha, yeah? Okay, because when we become Buddhas, we need both a Buddha's mind and then a Buddha's physical form. A Buddha's physical form not being like our physical form, but rather a body made of light and the ability to manifest in many different forms. Okay. So when we talk about the six far-reaching attitudes, the basis, okay, upon which they're practiced, is somebody whose Mahayana disposition has been awakened. Okay, now what's Mahayana disposition? Mahayana is referring to the vast vehicle of practice, the one that is vast in terms of our motivation, in terms of the number of sentient beings it encompasses, in terms of the goal that we're aiming for. And so somebody who has this altruistic intention to attain enlightenment for the benefit of others, where that has been awakened, Okay? So, you know, if we don't have spontaneous bodhicitta, at least there's something there, you know, there's some spark, there's some interest. And so you hear in the scriptures a lot about talking about the Mahayana disposition being awakened. And it's really quite important because when you think of our lives, you know, the difference between when you've heard teachings on bodhicitta and have some aspiration towards that versus the time before you heard teachings on bodhicitta where you didn't even know about it, you can see that there's a big difference. Can you see? Yeah? Okay. So even though we haven't even actualized bodhicitta yet, just even knowing about it, knowing that that exists, knowing that that's a possibility, having admiration, having that kind of awakened in our heart that we really want to become that altruistic and have that loving kindness, that's a big change in the mind. So we say the Mahayana disposition has been awakened. And then through relying on teachers and receiving extensive teachings on Mahayana texts, then, you know, together with the bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness, we try and practice these six far-reaching attitudes to attain enlightenment. Okay, so the basis of doing these six, it's talking about somebody who has the appreciation or the actualization of bodhicitta. So there's a difference between, you see, the far-reaching attitude of generosity and regular old generosity. Okay? Because, you know, regular old generosity, everybody does, you know, almost. Kind of, you know, you give something to somebody, that's regular old generosity. It's still virtuous. But it's different than the far-reaching attitude of generosity, which is undertaken on the basis of the bodhicitta. Okay? So big difference, you know, in the action, big difference in the result that you attain because of the basis of the motivation. So we have to really remember the importance of the motivation here. We keep coming back to it again and again and again. Okay, so then what is the nature of these six? Okay, what is each one? Okay, well, the first one, generosity, is physical or verbal actions based on the willingness to give and the kind thought that wants to give. Okay. So generosity is not giving away everything you own. Okay. Generosity is not satisfying everybody else's wishes, because that's impossible. Generosity is, you know, the physical and verbal actions we undertake based on that wish to give. Okay. And then ethics is restraint from the seven destructive actions of body and speech, and the three destructive actions of mind. Yeah? And it's the wish not to harm others, and so thereby, you know, getting our ethical act together. Patience is the third far-reaching attitude. It is the ability to remain undisturbed in the confront of harm from others, in the confront of difficulties, or in the confront of suffering. Okay, so patience isn't just suppressing your anger and putting a plastic smile on your face, but rather patience is the mind that's undisturbed no matter whether there's all hell breaking loose around you or not. Okay, so it's that mental attitude. And then enthusiastic perseverance, which is sometimes translated as joyous effort. I don't know which translation you prefer. I vacillate between the two. But that is delight in accomplishing the purposes of self and others. In other words, delight in doing what is constructive, what is virtuous. So a mind that's happy to be of service to self and others. So it's not the mind that is of service to self and others because we feel guilty and obliged and da-da-da-da-da, but it's the mind that really takes delight in that. Okay, concentration is the ability to remain fixed on a positive focal object without distraction. So the ability to really steer our mind towards a constructive or a virtuous object and be able to keep our mind there at will, you know, without the mind, you know, getting distracted to something else or falling asleep or, you know, going bananas in some way or another. Okay, so a mind that's really subdued. So instead of our mind controlling us, the mind is, you know, flexible. And then the wisdom, far-reaching attitude of wisdom, is the ability to distinguish accurately, you know, conventional truths and ultimate truths. In other words, the conventional way that objects exist, and then the deeper or ultimate nature of their existence. And wisdom is also the ability to distinguish what to practice on the path and what to abandon. In other words, what's constructive for enlightenment, what's destructive. Okay, so there's various kinds of wisdom, but those two kind, ability to, you know, to know conventional and ultimate accurately, and then what to practice and what to abandon. Okay, so that's the nature, in other words, like a quick definition of each of the far-reaching attitudes. Okay, so I'm kind of going through all of them now, give you a brief overview. Then we can also talk about the necessity and function of each of the six. So one way in which they're necessary is to accomplish the welfare of other sentient beings, okay? So to accomplish the welfare of others, in other words, to, you know, lead them along the path to enlightenment, we need generosity because we need to be able to provide them with the basic physical necessities, provide them with teachings, provide them with perfection, with protection, because otherwise difficult to lead sentient beings to enlightenment. So generosity is really necessary, you know, to fulfill their purpose, to accomplish their welfare. Okay. Then also to accomplish their welfare, we need to stop harming them. Okay. That's fairly straightforward, isn't it? You know, if we want to accomplish the first ways, stop to start accomplishing help somebody is, you know, start helping somebody is to stop harming them. Yeah. Another way in which we need patience to accomplish their welfare is that we need to be patient when other sentient beings don't act so nicely. Okay? Because again, if you're trying to work for other people's benefit and instead we become angry and upset when they don't do what we want, then it becomes really difficult to work for their benefit and to be of service. So we need just incredible patience to be able to, you know, let go and not hold on to all the, you know, stupid things that people do. Okay? And if we look at our own behavior, we know there's lots of stupid things people do. Yeah? And so just as we want others to be patient with us, then, you know, to turn around and extend that patience to them. Okay, then we also need joyous effort in order to be able to continuously help them. Okay, so again, to work for others' welfare, to serve them, we need to have this joy that can do it continuously, because to really make changes, to really help people, it's not a thing of, you know, kind of a one-time shot. It's a real commitment to stick it out and be of service continually. And so we can see this, you know, even in regular helping professions, you know, whether you're, you know, working in social work or medicine or therapy, or who knows what, you know, whatever profession you're working in, it's a continuous process, so we need that joyous effort to really make change. Okay, then we also need concentration, because we need to develop different psychic powers in order to be able to serve others better. In other words, if we have different psychic powers that can know people's past, you know, where we could tell past karmic connections, then it becomes easier to know, you know, how to guide people, which teachers people have karmic connections with, so how to guide them there, which practices people have connections with, how to guide them. You know, if we have also other psychic abilities that can, you know, understand people's thoughts and their dispositions, then again it becomes much easier to guide them because you know kind of what their interest, their personality is. So it's easier to give a practice that's suitable for them. Okay? So, you know, in Buddhism, we do have the practice of developing psychic powers, but it's always in the context of using them for the benefit of sentient beings, not to make a big deal out of oneself, okay? Or rake in lots of money by showing them off. Okay, and then we need the far-reaching attitude of wisdom to accomplish others' welfare, because we need to, you know, be wise in order to teach them, you know, because we need to know what to teach them. We need to know what is conventional reality, what is ultimate reality, because, you know, that it's that teaching which is really going to help others remove their defilements. So before we teach it, we have to understand it ourselves. We have to be able to teach them what to practice on the path, what kind of actions to cultivate, and what kind of actions to abandon, what attitudes and actions are contradictory for happiness. So again, in order to teach that to others, we have to be wise in those things ourselves. So we need the far-reaching attitude of wisdom. Okay? And then we can also talk about using the six far-reaching attitudes to fulfill others' purpose and to fulfill our own purpose. So like I was saying before, the first three fulfill others' purpose. And these, and then the last three fulfill our own purpose. Okay? But when we talk about own purpose and others' purpose, it's not like the first three only benefit others and not benefit myself. And it's not like the last three only benefit me and not benefit others. It's just kind of more a matter of emphasis. Okay? So the first three far-reaching attitudes of generosity, ethics, and patience, they all work to fulfill others' purpose. And they all kind of, there's a real interesting relationship between them, okay? And so through generosity, we try and make other people happy, okay? And we try and give them what they want. And also, you know, so we make them happy, we satisfy their needs, and also it becomes a skillful method to interest others in the Dharma, because if people, you know, if we give people things, then they tend to like us, then they, you know, might get interested in things we're interested in, like the Dharma. Okay, so it becomes a skillful way to make people think. And so generosity is one way in which we really try and fulfill their purpose. Now, in the practice of doing generosity, we have to stop harming them. Okay, because if we keep giving people things and we're quite generous, but then we turn around the next day and we slander them or we criticize them or we beat them up, then, you know, all the good energy that we put out by being generous is completely, you know, contradicted. And so it doesn't fulfill their purpose. It makes them suffer more. And in addition, it doesn't make them interested at all in what we're doing. So it's being unethical is not the way to attract other sentient beings to be interested in the Dharma, because they tend to, you know, kind of say, oh, that person really acts awful, so, you know, whatever they're into, I want to go 180 degrees away. Okay. So, I mean, this is a real interesting, I think, I find this quite interesting to think about, because so often we think of ethics as something that we do to avoid lower rebirth and create cause for upper rebirth, or we think about it as, you know, not harming others and something like this. But actually, if we start thinking about it in terms of how to guide other sentient beings, you know, if we really want to influence others in a positive way, being ethical is really, really essential, you know, so that we don't undo everything. Okay, also, if we behave well, then other people are impressed, and again, they get quite interested. You know, if they see us at work and, you know, and everybody else is involved in some kind of shady thing at work, or everybody else in the office is gossiping, but we stay away, other people, you know, kind of develop some trust in us, and they may become interested in what we're doing. Okay, and then also, you know, if we're practicing generosity and we're practicing ethics, we also need to be patient. Okay? Because especially like if we're being generous with other people, but then they turn around and harm us, if we lack patience, then what are we going to do? We're going to harm them in return. Okay? And so patience is really an essential quality to fulfill others' purpose, because it's what supports our practice of generosity, so that we don't regret being generous. You know, because one thing that happens so often is we're real, real generous, and then the other person turns around and, you know, they act like a jerk to us, and then what do? We regret what we did. You know, why was I so generous to that person? Why did I protect them, you know, from whatever it was, you know? They turn around, they betray my trust, and so we get angry and resentful in return, and then that destroys the practice of generosity that we did. Okay, because we develop so much regret for our positive actions. And then, you know, of course, we make a very strong determination not to help that person again in the future and not to be generous, even if, you know, no matter what happens. And so, you know, if we lack patience, then it really undermines the practice of generosity. And so for that reason, we do need to cultivate patience, because, you know, very often people, you know, they don't repay kindness with kindness. They repay it otherwise. Of course, when that happens to us, we feel like we're the only person that's ever happened to. But if you start reading the Buddhist scriptures, you'll see that this has been happening, you know, since time immemorial. Yeah. And if we look at our own lives, we probably will see that we've behaved that way to other people, been kind to us too. So it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, this is kind of reality. And so if we can develop some patience for it, then it helps us to accomplish others' purpose. And also if we can be patient, then we won't act unethical to them if they, you know, act poorly towards us after we've been generous. Okay? So that's how those first three, the generosity, ethics, and patience, you see how they all fit together, you know? There's like just this real interesting interplay between them. And I think this kind of thing is really important to contemplate and think about, because, you know, we tend to see things as individual, isolated units. You know, there's generosity here and ethics here and patience here, and, you know, this one here and that one there. But when you hear this kind of teaching, then you really see, well, generosity and ethics, they really blend and they fit and they complement each other. And patience is in there too, and it's necessary. And then you need the effort, you know, the joyous effort to be able to do it too. So you start seeing interrelationships between practices. And I think that's really important, so that our minds don't get too, you know, too blocked up and square. Okay, communicating? Yeah. So interesting to think about this thing in relationship to your life and different things that happen.